Yes. So, today we're going to talk on the meaning of worship. So, normally when we say worship, we think of singing, but it's not really the only way. It can be either the way we think, act, talk, the way we dress, or just put ourselves out there. When we serve others. When we serve others, Jesus said that we're basically serving them. Because he each gave us our own gifts. And we have to put ourselves into the Word to find out what the gifts are that he gave us. And he'll make it known to us. Because when we use our gifts to serve others, we're serving him. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Basically, ministering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaks, speaking through the very word of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides. So in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the holy, to him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. We should also serve him by the way we act or talk. We are not a good example for others who are around us. How are they supposed to understand that we have God's presence inside us when if we were cursing while trying to tell them about him? It would be sort of contradicting or confusing, because it says right in the beginning of the Bible, Exodus, that we are not to use the Lord's name against him. And I would have all these bookmarks, but I forgot my Bible. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not hold anyone guiltless if he misuses your name. As you can see, God doesn't take it very well when he uses his name. We need to work on respecting him the way he deserves to be. Learning respect is also a good part of growing in your faith. It says in Leviticus that respect needs to be given and to whom it should be. Yourselves and be holy because I am the Lord your God. You may experience all of them. That's the wrong word. Each of you must respect his mother and father. You must observe my Sabbath. I am the Lord. Rise in the presence of the aged. Show respect to the elderly. Revere your God. I am the Lord. Respecting God in worship is also important. Like in the way we think, especially in the way we pay attention at church. I can't say that I've never caught myself daydreaming or not really paying attention. It just takes extra day focus. Like, you could start taking notes, or I find sometimes just doodling, keeping your hands busy doing something, can keep your mind on the message and what the preacher or whoever is giving the message is trying to say. If your mind wanders a lot, it's taking attention off of God and putting it normally on things that don't really matter. Like the Hebrews, that we should keep our mind on him. Hebrews 3, 1 to 2. Therefore, holy brothers, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and the high priest, whom we confess. He was faithful to one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God had. When we keep God in our mind, it makes it easier to keep up our daily devotion and our time with Him. When we spend time in the Word, we are really spending time with God and getting to know Him. Spending time in the Word is essential to the Christian walk. We need to have at least a few minutes a day just for Him, so we can teach and show our students Word. Because if we didn't know very much about Him, how are we supposed to defend Him in everyday life based on the few things we had at church? Like, if we don't spend time in His Word at home, how are we supposed to put our full attention on Him at church when we could easily just be daydreaming or hearing music? And it's hard to take a few minutes out every day to read the Bible because you think, oh, I must be getting ready for this, then I can just read it when I get back. But normally, whatever you were doing, when you get back, you just want to be lazy or you'll have homework. Not that I have much experience in that, you're going to find something else that you're going to think is more important. And if you just take time out, like, right away for it, then the rest of the day you can do your homework and get ready for where you're going. It just, like, 5 minutes will help you get through the day. I could name you off, like, probably a lot of days where I've missed my reading the past few months. And you would probably know if I did, because I'm either in a really bad mood, or I just can't deal with anything, like my younger sister. There's no patience if I don't read. There's normally a lot of yelling in the house. And I can't hide from mom before it just comes out. Because we also need to keep in mind that God is not just someone there. He wants to have a relationship with you and be close with you. God is the only person in the whole world you can tell everything and anything to, and not worry about it being told to anyone. You can talk to God whenever you want, but some people think that He doesn't talk back. But if you put yourself into His words, He'll talk to you through it and make Himself to you. But also, a very important part of understanding is through prayer, which in other words is talking to God. You can talk to Him in any situation, it doesn't really matter. Prayer also does not have to be out loud, because if God knows your thoughts, then He knows when you're praying to Him. Trust me, praying out loud is not high on my list for things I feel comfortable doing. You never know what to say out loud. It's easier when you're just doing it to yourself, but whatever makes you feel more comfortable. Lots of people like to write down their prayers, keep it in a book, and even read over them later and just see how far they come. It's really just how comfortable you feel. But also, just because we pray to Him does not mean we'll get an answer back in a few minutes. It's possible, but most likely it won't. When we are looking for an answer, we have to expect that no is also an answer. We can't just expect that because we pray that it's going to be a yes, no matter how nice you make it sound. Or just because the answer is taking long does not mean it's a no either. Sometimes you just have to be patient and wait for God to make it clear to us. In Matthew 24. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Could you men not keep watch for me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. He went away a second time and prayed. My Father, if it's not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said, are you sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. And when he says, let the cup pass from me, he's just saying that if there's any way you can do your will without me having to die on the cross for it, then let it be. But God still had to say no to him because he knew there was no other way. So even when Jesus prayed, God still knew the plans that he had in mind. He would only see it happen or go through it if his son died on the cross. He was also willing to accept the answer, even if it was going to be a no, considering he prayed the same thing twice. But he still had to say no to his son, even though he did not want to put his son on the cross to suffer. He knew it was the only way he could spend eternal life. And that is through the shedding of his blood. I think that if God can say no to his son, we can trust God in control of our lives. Like, if it's a no, it will be for the best in the long run. But also, it seems like it's taking forever for an answer. It doesn't mean to go and ask another one. It means be patient and he will show you the answer. But just that whatever the answer is, you have to trust that God has it all planned out. And we will give us the same, he will give us the answer even if we think it may not be the right. So that's why God is in control and not us. Because we for sure don't know what we have. And sometimes people think we should. But not everybody knows them. Like, you could read the Bible 24 hours every day, and you still wouldn't know all the answers. And you never try to answer a question you don't know, because that could just end up backfiring on you, especially if you found out that what you told them was wrong. For out of the heart came evil thoughts. Murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. These are what make an unclean, but eating with unwashed hands is not make unclean. Yeah, that's right. And then Matthew 19, 17 to 19. Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments. Which ones the man inquired? He replied, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony. It says not to bear false witness or testimony, which in the other words could mean just giving someone wrong information by mistake or on purpose. It has the same effect for everyone, for even if you give someone the wrong answer, they'll go on thinking that you told them is true and telling others. So just by telling one person, you could really end up telling quite a few people, and then imagine finding out later that you gave someone the wrong answer. So if you ever find out that by mistake you gave someone the wrong answer, you should do the best to find the right one and correct that person before they are also guilty of giving false witness. Being a false witness is not something we can take lightly. We must try to correct it. Giving false testimony is also kind of counterproductive. You know, maybe adding a little extra to the rumors you heard, but thinking it's not a big deal, so it doesn't really change anything. But what if everyone else just kind of added on? Well, the first thing we can do is ignore the whole rumor. Being a girl, I know how hard that is not to gossip, even if you think it's important enough the other person should know. Because I know that when I go to work, it's hard not to gossip about the other person. We were on shift with the night before. I could easily go tell my supervisor or my manager, like, whatever I wanted about that person. And they would probably never know it was me who told of them or started a rumor about them or added on to whatever they did. But it's really hard sometimes. Because even if I feel like it's important for the manager or the supervisor to know, most likely not. It could be just making more of a situation. And it is really easy for my two cents in, but I know that even though nobody at work or in the coworkers know that I said what, there was the one that said it. But you just have to remember that God doesn't look over it because he thought it was important. And even at work, they noticed that I don't like participate mean gossip. They start to ask about everything else that I do also. In a way, we can work on trying to help answer the questions that people may have would be to try and memorize verses and passages in scripture. And also mainly because memorization is a big part of growing in your faith. The Lord said that we need to keep His word in our hearts. In Deuteronomy 11:18. Fix these words of mine in your heart and mind. Hide them as symbols on your hand and bind them on your forehead. And I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. He does not mean for us and then bottle them up and not share them with the people who probably need to hear it the most. Others can share in His glory and the peace that comes from having Him with you. When we memorize God's word, we can feel close to Him. Memorization is another way we can feel and get closer. It's a lot easier to spend some of them when you know more about them. I know that when I go to work, I can't get through a whole shift without someone asking or questioning me what I believe in. I didn't realize how behind I was on memorization until one of my coworkers started asking me a lot of questions, and sometimes I didn't have answers, and it was really embarrassing, and I knew I was disappointing God and doing it myself. And it was a horrible situation to be in. It makes you feel even worse. But the only way I could get better with my memorization is to just dive into the word and work hard on keeping it in my heart and mind. But it's not easy to just decide to start memorizing. It takes a lot of work. So I've been trying to work on it. So when I don't know the answer to one of my coworkers' questions, I can tell them they should have to go home and study the Bible. And we'll hopefully be able to give them an answer by my next shift. It's an amazing feeling being able to give them an answer to their questions. And to be sure I was helping them find their way and not hindering them. And another thing was how we dress. We have to think of our body like a temple, like it says in 1 Corinthians 19. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. God doesn't want us to pretty much be giving everyone around us a sneak peek to what is meant to be for our husband. Our bodies are special and supposed to be a gift and only seen by one person. Modesty is a great power. And in this book written by Dana Gresh, who explains it very well, yes, modesty is the source of this delicate yet formidable power. Making it a power in and of itself is delicate because it can be so innocently given away without your even knowing. It's formidable or difficult to deal with or control because once you've mastered it, no man will ever give access to the full secret behind your other until you so desire. Our guy left wrote that he'd never forget the first time he really noticed all his body. In a way, the picture was both frightening and reassuring. I realized that for the first time, as dumb as it sounds, all women are naked under their clothes. They have this power, and I didn't even know it. I am convinced that the practice of modesty in our life is an intriguing and unseen power source. So I have tackled the challenge of writing this little book, give you 6 things to these few short chapters on being the Dharma Community Power. I can't say what kind of decisions will make with the knowledge, for I won't try to answer all the questions, and promise to write a list of these notes. Modesty is much too complex to regulate with a big list of rules. I just want to give you all the facts in their rawest form so that you can at least make an informed decision about how you will use the power. But first, be honest with me. You are a bit reluctant about reading this. If you were reluctant about reading this, if you're going to lay the facts on the table, you should start with your own feelings. I'll confess I was not excited to write about mine. He had a few stubborn misconceptions, and I didn't want my wardrobe rocked. I had to admit, the presence of strong feelings required me to move forward in exploring the topic. With God's help, I decided this would be the next motion I was on. I felt like I was standing at the bottom of Mount Everest. But just as he was digging into the subject, I found myself frustrated with random thoughts. India has been showing off their bellies for years. Before that, Egypt is often with barely their fabrics just draping their breasts. What's the matter with the little belly? Well, most guys will tell you it was pretty powerful. In terms of a woman's beauty, you probably noticed that she was why girls showed off. Solomon noticed chapter 7, verse 2, refers to the belly in an enabling description of sexual foot. The belly is represented as a place of fruitfulness and object desires. I guess you could say that about this. Just because a culture normalizes something that's supposed to be reserved for blushing moments of bliss, it's not okay. Abortion is normal in the United States. Smoking pot is normal in California. Being a death is normal in most of the Western world. Don't be normal. It's not always okay. A girl thinks that a guy's pervert if he looks down her shirt that's cut to there and happens to notice your secret beauty. Well, we'll deal more with this later on. But first, let's just land on 1 Corinthians 10, 13, which says, do not cause anyone to stumble. If your low cut shirt causes a guy, you stumbled in your own Christian walk. For the record, if you dress modestly and you think God, then it would be. When we dress with modesty, we're not only showing respect for our future husbands, but to God and ourselves. By dressing with modesty and not showing off our bodies, we are more likely to find a guy who cares more about our bodies, to find more about us other than our bodies when we dress. Then who we really need to respect, then we really are behind all that. It doesn't refer, we just dread that our bodies are the temples that need to be respected and honored God at all times. And back then, there were curtains set up in the temple that kind of like boundaries and cover up what was meant for one person. And only the high priest was able to pass through the last curtain. So when we think of our bodies like temples, these are the temples had to cover it. Had curtains to cover it, and boundaries to keep the unwanted out, and only to let the one man that God had picked out for you one at a time. So really, when we show respect for ourselves by dressing modestly and serving others around us, the way we conduct ourselves with or without people around us. We are ultimately giving the highest form of worship to God by respect, modesty, conduct, prayer, and devotion. And by obeying His command, He will show us the man meant for us and His plan for our lives, and to remembering to worship God in everything we do. And then I have the worksheet that. They're really tame. Then I thought it's possible we could break into like the one.